We're doing part B of the secret place of God. Last week we were talking about the secret place and the Song of Songs. If y'all want to go to the scripture for the day, it is Song of Solomon or Song of Songs 1 and 4. Draw me away with you and let us run together. Let the king bring me into his chambers, right? And that's what we've been on, is how, what does it mean when you bring the king brings you into his chambers? How does that look? What does that look like on the surface level? A lot of people think that it's intimacy between a husband and a wife, and you could take it like that, but it's way, way, way more than that. We talked about what it was last week. We talked about that it's not a place, though it can be. It's this right here, what we're talking about, we're not taking it from the perspective of it being a place of protection. Because usually, what do you think of when you hear the secret place, Jason? Protection, right? The secret place of the Most High, right, Sarah? Psalm 91, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall say of the Lord, who is my refuge and my hope, right? My refuge. It is not that secret place. It's not a place of protection, right? It's not a place of provision. That's another thing. Then you can hide in the secret place of the Lord is going to provide everything for me. And there's a lot of people that are there, and it's fantastic. We are, and that's what he says in Philippians 4 and 19. God will liberally supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. In Matthew 6, 31 and 32, therefore do not be anxious. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, they seek after these things, not us who've been grafted in as Jews of the one true King, right? Not by Abraham, not by lineage, not by nation, not by even blood or circumcision, not by flesh or the will of man, it says in John 1 and 13, but by the will of God. We are children of the Most High King. So in the Passion, the same thing in Luke 2, 12 and 24, it says we don't... Take the carefree birds for example. Do you ever see them worry? They neither grow their own food nor put it in the storehouse. That God takes care of every one of them. So God in a secret place can be your provision as well. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about the perplexity. How do you say it? Perplexity. I was a little tongue-tied there. The perplexity of the mystery of Christ, that secret place. I'm not trying to go into this mysterious place where you can get kind of a little convoluted and, well, it's this secret place, it's unattainable, it can bring on doubt, unworthiness, how do you get there? The perplexity, and this is what he refers to in Ephesians 3 and 4. He talks about, by referring to this, when you read, you understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. We're not talking about that. Or in Colossians 1 and 27, to whom God will make known what is the riches of his glory, of the mystery among his Gentiles, which is Christ in you. There's a mystery of his glory, and there's a mystery of Christ, and the theology and all that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about a deeper and a different secret place that hardly anybody gets to. A secret place that in which you have to press into. It is the secret. It's a secret place of pleasure and satisfaction. Did y'all get that? Pleasure and satisfaction. Anybody been satisfied in the Lord? I know I've asked that 2 or 3 weeks ago. Anybody ever been to the place of being satisfied in God? What does that look like? You shook your head. What does that look like for you?
Knowing that no matter what's going on,
that's good. Praise the Lord. That satisfies you. Amen. Anybody else? You shook it.
Satisfied. We should also never be satisfied because we should always be learning more and seeking like further and harder. But yeah, we still should be satisfied.
That's good. Yes, it is. It's a double-edged sword. You should be, yet you shouldn't be, right? You should be satisfied in your spirit. But you shouldn't be satisfied in your soul. Does that make sense? You shook your head yes too?
I know there's been times when being satisfied in Christ by the embrace of my spirit with his spirit. With
what did that do for you? How did that feel? What did that smell like, sound like, look like?
It's not so much a feeling as a knowing. Because feelings can be deceiving. To be able to be kissed by him in the tenderness of his love. And I can't find him.
That's good.
It's like no other fulfillment. And when you taste that, you are fulfilled, which you always want more.
Mm-hmm. That's the mystery of Christ.
It's like you're saying, you always want more. Being in that place of that gentle caress, you know, that loving kiss, you know, of him holding you and saying, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're mine. You're mine. I chose you for my son.
Amen. That's good, Carlos. You shook your head too?
Yeah. For me, it was kind of the same. The satisfaction comes when you get into his presence and he just pours and pours until you know that you're filled, and it's just like just knowing that you're filled. But it's a moment to moment thing too, because there's always wanting more and more in different times and different areas in what you're going through, that you always run to him, you know, to run to him. So, and he's teaching you over and over different things. It could be the same scripture and it comes in different forms. That, like, wow, you know, that's why the saying is, you'll never ever know the Bible, because he can take one scripture and turn it 1,000 ways.
That's right.
At the moment that you need it, at the moment that you can receive it, at the moment that you can apply it, as
that's
you're
good.
Growing in him.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, it goes both ways.
You shook your head too?
So, we talk about how we ever experienced it. You know, and I can actually go to a particular day that I'll never forget. I was, it was after service. Of course, like we, most of us do, we go home, you know, we'll either have our little lunch and we'll wind down a little bit before whatever other tasks or events we have going on that day. But this particular Sunday, man, I'm just relaxing and literally laying in bed. And it was a phenomenal praise and worship Sunday, and it was a phenomenal service. But man, I was just literally, I don't say I was battling, but man, I was just seeking, and I had so many questions going on. But as I was laying, I was literally laying in my bed and felt the Lord. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just, talking about like imagine a heated blanket, a heated blanket just laying on you. And it's not because it's weighted, it's not heavy, but it's just laying on you. And at that moment, I felt like a little kid. Oh, my Lord, this is not happening. Nope. And as a parent, I don't know if many of us have experienced this, when your kid comes into the room, they just want to lay with you. And what do? You just, you wrap their whole entire body next to yours. I felt that. And literally, I mean, in these words, I will never forget. I am here and I'm proud of you. And wow. And I think a lot of people think satisfaction has to do with getting, and you know, it's not all about that. It's in that surrender of that seeking and that searching, because when we're able to truly die to self, satisfaction comes when we just know that it's not us at all that can do anything whatsoever, and it's only Him. It's only Him through us that we can just be. And so when you talk about having that, I'll never forget that day. And yet, and last Sunday, I told you guys, you know, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I told you guys that smell, it was that smell of that, the cookie on that, on the baby's breath when they're breathing. And man, got up, I had to go to youth because I had youth that evening, but talking about just no pressure, just no, I mean, a peace surpasses all understanding, and just the weight of the world was, did not even exist. So when you talk about satisfaction, it is just a surrender of knowing that it's only Him every step. I mean, we can't do anything. Nothing else exists. Nothing else matters but Him. Anyway.
That's really, that's fantastic.
Wow.
I remember that day. He calls me up. He goes, "You ain't gonna believe this." It's like, bro, wake up. It's a dream.
Baby bawling. No, it was just so good, though. I mean, because.
I'm just kidding.
Man.
No, I remember, man. I was like, "Lord, you've never done that for me."
Yeah, I'll never forget.
Why you do it for Him, but you don't do it for me? No. We all have different experiences like that, I have many times. I don't think I have one particularly in general, but yeah, that's I like the way you put that. That is really the most. I think that is the consummation of, wow, man, that's good too. That is what happens in the intimacy between a husband and a wife, but more so between Christ and His bride. Right, whenever you're going into the marriage bed, into the chambers. You are giving yourself away, right? That's what it's supposed to be. The highest level in marriage of giving yourself away. Not selfish desires and all this gratification.
Yeah, yeah.
It's supposed to be about giving yourself away. What can I do to please you? But we think of that in the humanistic standpoint. In this is what Christ did and how He lived. It was, what can I do to please you, right? Your will is my meat and my drink. It wasn't a physical pleasure. It says God's a spirit, right? So how can you please a spirit, right? How can you go there, right? It's truly by dying to yourself and getting out of this flesh in which hinders us from that true intimacy, right? Like I said 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were talking about the first part of Song of Solomon, why we got on the Song of Solomon was, you know, about all this stuff between the man and the woman. And there's so much deeper, such a deeper level that you can get to that is really amazing. And if we can learn how to, and that's the only way you can even get to this secret place, to be quite honest. It says in the secret place, how you get in, it says in Jeremiah 33:3, it says, "Call to me and I will answer and show you." And I've got six different versions here with one word. It says, "Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable and remarkable and hidden and great and mighty and incomprehensible things you do not know. Call to me." How are you going to get? He wants to give you all of this. Things that in a place that you've never been in. I've been here myself. You know, it's really funny how this week we're here with this right now. And I've just been battling like for 2 days because of this deliverance thing. And that everyone wanted us to do, or most people, Eric, you're supposed to rush into it. I don't rush in desperation. A lack of preparation on your part doesn't constitute an emergency on mine. Oh, but your pastor, that's right. And as a leader, you have to learn how to say no, right? That I'm weak and I'm weary. Or you're just supposed to go in and oh, brother, I need you to do the deliverance. And this dude's, everyone's seen the movie Exorcist here because we're all that old, right? And I'm sorry, yeah, we were all up in the world too. You've never seen it? Okay, then amen. Hallelujah. I was going to say, wow. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
I don't know who you're
talking about. Well, whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa. Good.
And you don't.
You don't need to see it. Amen and hallelujah. Man, don't ever. But yeah, I mean, if you were to, everyone else, if you can just imagine the worst of worst of someone being tormented, you know, with heads turning and you know, when she was backwards up the stairs type of thing. I mean, imagine that's the situation, and I need you to go to deliver him right now, Kendall. Let's go. Would you be ready? So why do you think I don't want to ball with you in basketball? I will play some pig because it's all about skill, but the athleticism compared to you is not there. I'm a grown 40-some-year-old man. I mean, 20-some-year-old man. I'm sorry. I'm not going to compete with the athleticism. Right? So we're not ready. But then, so they're telling us to do all this deliverance, and I'm thinking to myself, man, well, I don't know if I want to. And I'm hearing the Lord too, because even if you are ready, you need to hear the Lord in that to go. But then I had somebody, I ain't mentioning any names at all, okay? Not one name said, you don't have to get ready if you stay ready. Something that he got off of Pinterest.
What in the world? Lord, this is not happening.
I'm not mentioning the name or nothing. He says, you ain't got to get ready. And this dude, and that burdened me. And I thought to myself, Lord.
I didn't mean to burden you, brother.
It wasn't. It's a good thing. It's a good challenge. Because then this other guy said,
just sharpening.
This guy said, well, aren't you supposed to be ready for that level of stuff? Right? For to walk into the lady in the angel, turning heads, ah, bye. Like Jesus wasn't scared of the demon at the Gadarenes, right? He was chained up, tied up, shrieking and screaming, and in the tombs, naked. He wasn't scared, he wasn't frightful. He didn't say nothing about him. He just looks at him and says, go. Hold on. I gotta go fast for about 7 days. You stay right there. I'll be back and I'll deal with you later. You know, like the old country western, I'll see you later. You know? Look at I got him laughing. Praise the Lord. He likes country westerns, huh? I'll see you later. You think Jesus did that?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. And so I think to myself, man, I've just been sitting here and I'm like, Lord, in running to the Father, there is so... We think we've arrived, and even me, I'm not thinking I've arrived. I've never, ever considered or even thought that. But because of the title and the position, I'm expected to do certain things, right? Well, that level of stuff is reserved for like apostolic level. I'm like, well, that's to be ready at all times like that, where you're walking down the street and people are falling at your shadow? To be that ready, it's not even being ready, to be quite honest. It's being in the secret place so diligently to where you're fasting and you're praying even more so than you do now. Think of where you're at now and let's multiply that times 10. Multiply that times 20. Can you imagine where you would be? In that type of obedience and that type of surrender? You in that satisfaction and in that secret place, but so where you walk down the streets and people are just bringing people to you, because this is what's going to happen. It says at the end of days, people are going to be doing even more so than they did back in the day. And as sin availeth, grace availeth much more. So as all this wickedness comes upon the world, what do you think God's going to do? Right? He's going to come in even more glory and power. And is it going to be him? No. It's going to be you. If you're ready. If you're in the...
You know, it's funny you were saying that because, I mean, I totally get what you're saying. It doesn't matter what level you are. You definitely have to know Of course, like you also say, we do have to be pray ready, because being led by the Spirit, because there's times that somebody can come, the Holy Spirit has already told you, get ready to go, and you're ready because He's already confirmed it to you. But it's something, and that's severe. It is, because you know, we know that, it's like I told Tracy the other day, I said, you may have the ingredients, but if you don't have His presence in there, it ain't gonna work. And not only that, you're putting yourself in danger.
In danger.
And the reason I'll tell you what, I think it was just God also. And we do it, we try to do it this, oh, well, she's my friend, I have to do this for her because da-da-da. And they know that, you know, someone invited me to go to pray for somebody, and I had already told him twice, things got in the way, I wasn't able to go with her to go pray for her dad. And then, you know, she caught me again, and she says, I really need you to go. And here, thinking, okay, well, I let her down twice already. So I said, I'm going to go. And this is something simple, but yet so, it was so powerful for me to learn that we don't do things just because he's my friend, she's my friend, or that's my sister.
That's
you don't
right.
do it.
Well, just
you
like,
make sure.
Just like I was saying,
and
feelings.
The deal is, so I'm on my way following her to go see her dad, and I'm praying on the way so that I would be ready, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, he goes, don't go, don't not go in. He says, do not go in. And he says, because you're asking for trouble. Those were his very words to me. He was asking. And I said, but Lord, I already told her. And he says, I'm telling you, do not go in. You're asking for trouble. So I got off the car, and I had to, this is where, you know, you have to be in the Spirit, because to tell that person, I'm sorry, I can't do it. The Holy Spirit told me not to. And this is somebody that understands the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine somebody that doesn't?
Oh, wow,
make
yeah.
it even worse.
And she still didn't receive it.
And she still didn't receive it. She was upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
And But I told her, I cannot do it. I said, the Holy Spirit told me not to do it. I'm asking for trouble. Well, what happens after that? So I left. Feeling bad, but yet I left, because I had to first be obedient to Him.
Absolutely.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And so I left. Well, a few days later, we found out he had COVID.
Wow.
Can
you imagine? Can
you imagine if I would have walked in? And in the condition that I'm in.
Man. And this is what
and
it's
this
about.
Is the same.
It has nothing to do with the people that you know and the people that you're acquainted with and feelings and stuff like
yeah.
that. Mm-hmm. But you should still be ready. Right? I mean, even at that, so let's take away this demoniac and all these people that all this people that needs this massive deliverance. What about the people in your family right now that are struggling with alcohol? Or what about the person that you just saw that other day at the store that was had a limp along? Are you ready for that? Because that's just as much. We were sitting one time at Lost Cajun, and all of a sudden I see this dude struggling in his leg. He has bad plumbing. His plumbing sometimes doesn't work right, and I don't understand it. But, and we're sitting at Lost Cajun, and there's a dude with no arm, and all of a sudden I see him, and his plumbing is about to erupt, and I'm like, what's wrong? Did they not get your beans right? And it's not the beans.
Stop, bro. Lord, forgive him, man.
Forgive me, Lord. It's not the beans. It's this man's hand. And this dude didn't have an arm. And we're sitting there, and he goes, when, I mean, you've talked about it, and we all talk about it, talk about being in the hands and the feet of Christ, that we want to see that, right? I've only known maybe less than a handful of records of things that great manifesting, right?
Mm-hmm.
One just happened like about a year ago in Africa, and they prayed, and his whole arm came all the way up. And I've seen one myself with the dudes, he was like this, right, and I prayed over this dude after the demoniac. It's a long story, and his hand opens up. And so, I mean, that was my personal experience. But, I mean, to see an arm grow, that's a whole different level. You know what I mean? To see then the dead raised, that's a whole different level. And so, I mean, when you...
Blind eyes being open, people just walking. I mean, just stuff that we think is so crazy. power of God is so just
real.
Rampant and just real that it's like there's no limit to what he can and can't do. It's just, that's normal. Like, that's just normal. And I wish we could all be like that here, where it's just normal to just have the healing just all the time.
And the reason is because too much richness, you know.
Prosperity?
Yes, prosperity. Here. And people focus more on that than they do on the spiritual.
Man, let me talk about that. So I have a Bible study for, I guess everyone knows except y'all two, but I'm teaching an apostle and 26 pastors in Africa now.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Okay, so I'm talking about regeneration in the Word of God, not the salvation, not this thing that the Spirit of God. How can one of my favorite quotes that I got in that teaching, how can a dead man raise himself from the dead? Oh, just say this prayer and God's going to come inside you. How can a dead man raise himself from the dead? It doesn't work. It's only the Spirit of God. So I'm teaching regeneration, and those are the two topics that I was a little afraid to teach. So I'm teaching regeneration, and I'm going through this on all the biblical scriptures, and there's so many of it's only God, only God. Everything is only God. And we get to the very end of it, and then the apostle says, "Brother, are you telling me that we're not regenerated?" And I said, "Why would you say something like that?" He says, "Because we are a little church and we have just a little," and he has 26 pastors. I wish I had 26 pastors. He says, "We're little." And he says, "But there's another church on the other side of Nairobi who has all these people, and they have all this money. And they have all this wealth, and their church is big, and they have cars and good clothes. They must be regenerated, and I'm not, because I'm not blessed." Mm. Can you believe that? That broke my heart. And, I was so upset, and I freaking took off, and I fired off, and I said some stuff, and it was all, I believe, I didn't say nothing that wasn't of the Lord, that wasn't true. I don't believe it's just my opinion, but when people talk about the stuff that we talk about and we go to the depths that we go and we talk about unpacking some of these things that we unpack, we talk about regeneration. That's what Charles Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said the true church talks about regeneration, not about self-realization, not about self-development, not about self-actualization, not about self-prosperity, not about self-this, not about self-love, not about self-declaration, not about self at all. It's only about God, right? It's about regeneration, not self-realization, right? Because that's what most of this gospel prosperity stuff is, right? I'm not against prosperity, but when you switch that and you change it into greed and you change it to all being about you, well, church is, I'm supposed to go to church so I can get blessed, then that's a jacked up mentality, yeah. Right? That's a selfish mentality. And all of a sudden, when self is in the picture, then God can't be in the picture. Right? And that is the way to the secret place, is whenever you go into your prayer room, it says shut the door for the pro. In Matthew 6:6, it says when you go into your prayer room and you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father will reward the secret, who sees you in secret will reward you openly. To do that requires an effort of the will. You have to submit and surrender all of these things. I'm going to give you 5 points as to how to get into the secret place. And number one is to get real with God, right? To get right with God, you have to get real with God, right? You can't just sit here and, you'll bless me one day and I'll pursue you one day and all these things. It doesn't work. You have to repent and confess your sins out loud and receiving cleansing from all unrighteousness, like I just read, right? And then, if you don't have prayers, get with me or one of the mature people here. And we have prayers galore. There are prayer in the men's groups that I've already had over the blood, over the will, the mind, the emotions, and all these things that help you cleanse your, help pray, that allows the blood of Jesus to cleanse you from all of these things that keep you from being real. Even deception, lying spirits. You know, I mean, me and Tracy had a fantastic dinner and conversation last night. Man, it was so good. And we're just getting real, and Trinity's there, and we've just matured so much from so many years. And we were talking about She goes, Eric, there was just a lot, and I don't want to get off topic, but I realized that I had a mindset of a part of who she was, a mindset. Do you have a mindset of who your wife is from 2002? Because I had a mindset from who she was from 2012. And it's just in there. And every time you press this button in her, my mind says, oh, there's the recording. And this is who she is. And I wouldn't even trying to give her the benefit of the doubt that's changed. And she was doing the same thing with me. And she goes, I've been in the past. And that's where we stay sometimes. And this, oh, this is who you were. Oh, isn't the Lord supposed to heal that? Yeah, and he does heal it. But if you don't allow him the blood of Jesus to cleanse you and rebuke the lie. That is one of the things I'm practicing the most, because all y'all know I deal with rejection. And that's what I've just been on cloud nine with just the lie comes in. You know what? That's a lie. And I rebuke the lie. I rebuke you, lying deceiver, trying to steal my joy. And that's what the enemy tries to do with all these people, try to keep you away from church because I got to work and I got job and I got kids and I got this. He wants to lie to you and do everything he can to keep you away from all of this stuff, from reading, from pressing in. That's how he does it, by the simple thing that he did. This is the origin, the foundation of it. Just like he did with Eve. Oh, it's okay. Just a simple lie. And we believe it. Oh, you're right. I do gotta get ready to do all of these things. And I can't do this today. I'm not ready to go and preach. It's just in believing the lie. And so so that's number one, is repent and confess all these things, these mindsets. Number two, tell the Father, I can't seek you as you so deserve unless you help me. So what is this? I can't seek you as you so deserve unless you help me. And what am I talking about here? I am talking about holy desperation. Yeah. That's fantastic. Come on, Carlos. What verse is that? It's in there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Maybe like 29, 10, or 9. It's holy desperation, right? You want to get before the Lord in desperation that I need you more than a breath. I need you more than water, right? Anybody ever fasted before? How many? 1, 2, 3, 4. More than 3 days. Anybody ever fast for 7 days? Snap. Man, we got some people. Praise the Lord. Y'all got to try it.
Well, does y'all gotta it try. Count when you don't do it willingly? I didn't plan on it. It just happened.
It just happened.
I had 7 days where I didn't eat.
Yeah, no, you have to plan it. And because you're doing it for the Lord, right?
Right, yeah.
And, yeah. And it's been, man, what happens in, you know, after you get over day 3 and day 4 of the hunger pains, you know, but the place that the Lord brings you, right, is you are, what you're essentially doing in its purest form is killing off your flesh. Oh, yeah. And it is fantastic.
Literally? Is that you?
Yeah. Literally.
That too, literally.
Yeah.
The thing is, when you do it for the Lord, and it's, even though, yes, and it's funny, I mean, that's when you get tempted the most, but that's what makes you recognize, okay, I know that you're right with the Lord. He also helps you get through it.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So that's, to get into this desperation, like a fast, or like water, or like a breath, like this... This is where you want to be with the Lord, in prayer, right? in a secret place when you have time, not 5 minutes, not 10 minutes. You want to get before him. And this is number two. You want to, if you've never been in the secret place and you don't know how to get there, even if you've been there, I do it now. Lord, I need you. I do this up here, whether y'all realize it or not. I'm like, Lord, I can't do this. I said, I need you. Don't make me get up there and my plumb is going to break again. I said, you better come on down, you know, because they don't need me. They need you, right? And so I'll go up there in a holy desperation constantly. Because in our reality, you can't do it. It says in Romans 3:10-12, as it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks after God. No one who seeks God. Oh, I seek him. No, you don't. He's faithful to himself. The spirit inside you is who he is faithful to, right? Because your flesh is filthy rags. It is unholy to him, right? And so it's the spirit that's inside of you that keeps him wanting, right? And it's the spirit that's inside of you that wants him back. Amen. You can't seek him.
That's good.
Because all have turned away and who have together become worthless. No one is good, not even one. Amen. Number three, surrender your own everything. What does that mean to you?
Surrender what?
Your own everything.
For me, a lot, what I've prayed, well, I've prayed often, subtract me from the equation. So when you talk about that surrender, talk about, you know, self, you know, just remove me from the equation, Lord, you know. Whatever it may be, I mean, you know, looking for a new job or
that's right.
Lord, I'm looking for a house. You know, I want this house. I want this to look like, you know, but, you know, subtract me from the equation. I only want what you want. So that's how it should be. Often.
That is one of the hardest things to do.
That done,
right,
is
because we want, and it'll continue forever, but we all want all of these wants and needs, these wants that you think are needs.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I need, well, you know what I need right now? Let me tell you. I need a 2021 GMC Denali.
Here we go.
Yeah. And look at Willie. He's like, man.
You can do it.
I don't need that. My truck is perfectly fine and it's worked and I've been blessed that we don't have any payments. But we all have needs that we think that we need and we don't, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think I need a new set of golf clubs. And I was playing golf with this old man the other day and I said, oh, man, it's the golf club. And he looked at me and said, no, it ain't.
Yes.
He said, no.
This club is broke.
This club is broke.
I need new clothes.
Yeah.
I didn't go straight. This is broke.
That's right. You know. And so the fourth thing is, yes, to give up everything you want. And this, when you're allowed to do this, when you can do this and get to this place, it'll bring you, you go before the Lord, and now all of these distractions that are coming at you that I need more time off, or I need to work more, I need more millions, I need to pay my truck, I need all these things. When you surrender all of this before the Lord, all of your needs and your wants, this is the only place in which you can get into a place of stillness.
Mm.
Stillness. And that's in the secret place. Right? It is not in your soul in which you're battling this and thoughts and even your own wants, not material wants, but your own wants. I need more peace and I need to get healed of this cankerworm toe thing and I need my wife to be more happy. whatever you're thinking that you need in a soulical realm, even that. Even a man who says, I need respect. Right? Look at me.
Yes.
You know Jesus never asked for respect? Mm-hmm. Did you know that? Jesus never demanded respect from anybody.
That's right.
And when I found that out, that blew me away. And my whole ego went boom when I really unpacked that. Because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, right? The Most High. And could have called thousands of legions of angels right now to his beck and call. I could cast this demon out of you right now, Pontius Pilate. Quit lying. You know, out of Cassius and everybody. He could have took that cross upside down and played baseball with all these dudes. That's my God. Demand respect. Don't you spit in my face. Don't you talk to me like that. Not one time did he demand respect. So as men, it's a lie. The world says that. And it's one of the hardest lessons I've ever had to learn. If they don't respect you, it's because your flesh is coming through too much. There is no spirit. And even when they disrespect, and that might be true too, but also when if they do disrespect you, then isn't that the opportunity for the love of Christ to come through? To show them something that they've never seen?
Should be, yep.
That should be it. That's what Jesus did, and this is our role model, right?
That's good. You know, saying, you know, we want to be, losses is because we want to be right.
Yes.
You want to be right. So you cannot, the flesh cannot receive humbleness, you know. And especially when there's people around and they just start talking, talking like what you're saying, you know, that you think you're this, you think you're that. So the flesh retaliates.
Yeah.
Instead of submitting to the spirit, which is humbling.
That's right, humility.
You know, humbling ourselves. It doesn't matter what they do, because the way you're going to show them the love and Christ in you, I mean, you're going to show them the Christ in you is through that love by not
retaliating.
Not going in the same place that they're in.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You just have to, okay, you know.
It's so
and,
hard.
And that reminded me, God always takes me to stories and stuff like that to teach me my lessons.
Yeah.
You know, in the Word. And he took me where Jesus was before the Father. And he says, these people are wanting to kill you, you know, what do you have to say? But he didn't retaliate to say.
He didn't defend himself at all.
And exactly. And man, that just spoke into my spirit. And I said, you know what? Because at the end of the day, it's not what they say, what they do. It's how are you going to respond to show the love of Christ.
At the end of the day, it's not between me and you anyway.
No, it's you and him.
It's between me and him. Amen. That's good, Carol. Lastly, the way you get in after you've...
Hold on, what's number four?
Number four, that's what... Lastly is number four.
Oh, I thought you had five. I thought you had five.
Oh, I do have five. Number four. Number four is thanks and praise. Right? I forgot I added the fifth one. Get real with God. Holy desperation. Surrender. Thanks and praise. Right? So, you know, it says, how do you get into the secret place? Look at Psalms 100. I got a bunch of scriptures here. Mm-hmm. I mean, I will give thanks to you with all my heart. Psalms 9 and 1. Come to me, let us sing to the Lord. Shout joy joyfully for the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Right? How do you get into this presence? With thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. But one of my favorite ones, one of the all-time best scriptures is, enter into his gates. Psalms 100, 4 through 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Enter into his gates, right? Just like if it was the temple and you have the outer court. And what was the second one before the Holy of Holies? The inner court. Second one, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. These all have gates. How do you enter into his gates? With praise and thanksgiving. And number five is nothing but returning to prayer and or fasting. Pressing through in all avenues and diligently listen. And then you will know that communication isn't always speaking. It's also about listening. And that is also what is required in prayer. When you can press in, once you've surrendered, and once you give thanks and praise, once you're in holy desperation and you're in this place, you get to the place to where if you've surrendered everything that you have, and I don't have any wants, any needs anymore, then what are you going to ask the Lord for? Anybody?
Everyone else.
That's right.
It's not about us.
And it's never about you anymore. And then you can hear what the Lord wants for Jason and what the Lord wants for Kendall and what the Lord wants for Hallie. Once you're done with yourself, He can pour Himself into you and you can listen and hear. Other than that, you're hearing nothing but your soul. The frequency is slightly dialed in to what your soul wants. You want to dial into what the Spirit wants. And once you dial in there through the secret place, right? Now that you're in the secret place, you're not hardly praying anymore. I don't hardly, and I'm not saying that I'm way up here, because I'm not every day. Right? I'm like a roller coaster that's constantly going up. That's what I do. That's how I go. Because I'm not perfect, man. I'm not perfect all the time. But
what?
I know it's a hard revelation for you to understand. But
forgive me, Pastor.
Thank you. Jeez. I don't know if this service.
Get ready.
I'm ready for all that. And it's, you're not perfect, right? And so you go into places of a challenge and an opposition and obstacles, and the Lord constantly gives you more opportunity to press in, and it just will be like that forever. And sometimes when I have that opportunity, I don't make it. And I'm sitting there and I'm just like, and all this stuff's going on. I'm just like, and I gotta, and I'm jacked up for like 30 minutes or an hour. And I'm like, sitting in the office and just, And then the Lord says, no, or the Lord, I know what to do, right? But we all do that. But it's a whole lot better than it used to be, lasting 3 or 4 or 5 months. I don't know who's all been there. Maybe it's just me. But yeah, Lee, I was in some places before, man. Yeah. I mean, you know how people in the world, sometimes they're on all the stuff that they're on, and they said, man, I had a bad weekend, right? Because they're all jacked up on whatever they're doing to get to escape. Uh-huh. I didn't even have bad weekends or bad weeks. I had like stretches of months. I had bad months. I wouldn't remember for like 3 or 4 months what happened. We're in October. Just bad, because I didn't know how to cope. And so I'm grateful that the Lord has done so many things away from the world, but also into places even now to where, you know, you get into this place in this funkiness. You know, there was a pastor I used to know that says you have 3 days to stand on forgiveness. And I used to think that was, man, that's pretty good. I have time to be mad at Jason. I got 3 full days. Suck it up, buttercup. Hey. No, this is not the way we're supposed to live. I mean, yeah, maybe 3 days is the final threshold, but it's you don't take that as the mentality of I have 3 days.
Yeah.
It's like I need to get through it now, because it might last for 3 days. You know, it might, if you don't go get right now and press in and forgive, it might all of a sudden you're going to build a dead gum root that you can't get rid of, and now you find yourself in positions and reacting and doing stuff that's not even you. So you got to press in deeper, right? And as you do that, everything else subsides, and all your own issues and all your own, the things that you desire, and you get to hear the Lord better. And that's where the satisfaction comes from. It's in an intimacy of y'all are, you're just one, and nothing else matters. And sometimes it feels like it lasts forever. Man, that's a good song. A day feels like forever. I sung it once, but I didn't do a good job. I'm glad no one was there recording it. You get to a place of nothing else matters, and a day feels like forever, like a week or two, and you know, you're out of it. You're like, man, and it's only been a few minutes. Other times you feel like you're only in a few minutes and it's been like 6 or 7 hours and it's like, what happened? You know, and you're just, there's a secret place and when you can get to that, and then you yearn for that. It's like, Lord, I don't want nothing else, but just take me now. I'm good with it because I'm good. I know they're going to be a little upset.
That's a true surrender right there.
But yeah, like right now.
Yeah.
Well, however you want to. Doesn't really matter. You know, there's nothing else. And this is where this growth will come from. The surrender comes from. This is where your spirit man grows. And it's pressing out of the soul, right? And now your soul can't react as much as it used to. Because you've been in the secret place, right? Now the anger that used to be there when the wife said something is, oh, I love you, honey. You know? What'd you say to me? Come here, give me a hug. But, okay.
His word says we're to be the peacemakers.
Yes.
You know, and that's one of the things that I always keep in the back of my mind. It doesn't matter. Says you're there to be a peacemaker.
Absolutely.
And I just want to share something with everything that you were just saying about, you know, being in God's presence and some of the things how the enemy uses to get us focused in things that God never wanted us to be in, and it's because we live in this time that. The more I have, the more they see what I got, that I'm up here.
Yeah.
You know, if I have this, if I have that, they're going to respect me. They're going to think I have it all together. Because they don't want you to see what's inside.
That's right. Yeah.
So they use all these materialistic things. They use all these things of the world, your success, everything, as a way to cover what's inside.
That's right. Man, go ahead.
No,
that other day, I was hitting some balls, and there were some dudes barely going to get on. They were having a golf tournament, and these dudes, I'm not even talking, well, same topic, but it wasn't material. And this dude walks in, I mean, gets off the golf cart, then F and this and this and cussing this and storming this and, oh, you stupid, and talking, you can't handle that club, it's too big for you, and to all of his friends, but like, take that and multiply it times 50. And just vulgarities, and I'm just sitting there, and we're at a golf club. Like, it's like prestigious, right? I mean, golf is like a different sport, right? People, you have to dress up to play, you know, type of deal. So it's a different, you know, it's not just hood that goes in there unless they just want to go get drunk, right? There's usually well-to-do men is pretty much what it is because it costs money to play golf, right? I have a little membership that I don't have to pay nothing, you know, just my little monthly dues, and I play whatever I want. But the point is I'm there, and he's coming in with all of this stuff and just hood as can be. And I'm just sitting there, and I look at him, and everybody's just, and even some other, you could tell some businessmen were walking up, and they're like, hey, how are you doing, Alex? And he goes, you don't have to call me Alex. You can call me a vulgarity. And I'm like, man, and I saw that, and I looked at him, and I'm like, man, this dude has so much stuff that he's, and he was loud and obnoxious, and I'm like, man, you are hiding so, you are so scared.
That's because they think they can take, if they can show all this, that's their way of showing respect for them.
Oh, he was, I was looking like a little boy. Then he had all this aura and appearance just to hide all the pain and hurt that he was doing. He didn't want no one to see who he was. Mm-hmm. And it just broke my heart. And I'm sitting there and I just, Lord, man, help him, man, because help, let someone come into his life to let him know that, bro, you just need some healing, man, because he was just way so far out there protecting himself, just like the people do in prison. You know
what I mean? Yeah, it's their way of coping with.
Coping.
You know.
And everyone has.
And so the Lord was showing me this, and he was showing me the reason you're not where I need you is because, like you say, your mind is, well, I gotta work, I have to work Sunday, and have all these excuses, not knowing that they're all tools of the enemy, not to press in of where God needs you or wants you. You know, so you can't hear him. You can't hear him because you're too busy thinking, I gotta do this, I gotta take care of the kids, I gotta do that, I gotta do this. so the enemy knows exactly how to occupy your mind.
Exactly.
Instead of saying, Lord, you got me, and you'll take care of it. It's like, and I'm speaking, I'm talking, because this is the things that he's just been showing me here lately, that I got so busy with, I had to do this, but when I finally released it and surrendered, you know what? It doesn't matter. If I don't have it, I don't have it, because my main focus is you.
Amen.
And especially going through what I'm going through, I had to really evaluate everything, because it's like when I lost everything, he said, is that more important to you than me?
Mm.
What good is it that you have it if you lose me?
What is it good to gain the world and lose your soul?
Exactly. Yeah. And so he had to, and I had to step back, and I'm like, oh, wow. What good is it I have it if I lose you? So he says, I need you connected to me. And when I started connecting more to him, nothing else mattered. If I had it, I didn't have it. But it's so funny that when you surrender everything, God knows your heart, he brings it automatically without you even asking.
Oh, he does. It's fantastic.
You know,
huh?
Even the desires came to me like, whoa, you know, I especially I didn't have nothing.
Praise the Lord.
But I said, Lord, as long as I have you,
that's
and I surrender
all that
to
matters.
You, and he put me in that position where even my time, like you say, I spend a lot of time because I don't work anymore. But you have to take my health in order to get there, to realize that I being in his presence was more important to me than anything else.
Amen. That's
because
good.
My riches was coming from that. That I'm even seeing the fruit on my daughter. I'm seeing fruit on Isaac without me even saying nothing, just by what they're seeing.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I don't know if I shared with y'all, but, you know, what meant a lot to me that we were preparing for the radio, and I was getting ready for the radio, and I put the music full blast because I need that music just to soak in. And anyway, and Victoria yelled at me, and she told me, you know, that's too loud, and I turn it off. And I went over there, and I said, first of all, you don't yell at me, and second of all, you don't like it, go to your room. And so she does. And I got back into doing the praise and worship, what I was doing. And when I finally finished, and I turned around, she was no longer at the table. So I walked back to her room, the door was closed, because I heard the door slam. So I go to her room, and she's crying. And I said, are you okay? Her words to me were, Mom. She said, leave me alone. She was spending time with Jesus. You know, and I walked out. Because she told me to leave her alone because she was spending time with Jesus. And I walked out. I went back to the living room. And I'm sitting there just praising God. And she says, and she comes out, and I said, are you okay? And she says, Jesus forgave me for my sins. And he forgave me. He forgave me for yelling at you.
Wow.
She just turned serious. But for her to come to say that leave me alone and spending time with God was worth a million to me.
Amen. That's good.
Girl. And that's just a little girl. By what they see, what they observe.
Fruits.
You know?
Amen.
Could that furniture and all that be more than that? Absolutely. Because I know that she's preparing her heart to God.
Hallelujah. That's good. That's good. And this is, you know, everyone's going to see it whenever you step into your own secret place, right? People are watching, and the Lord is watching, and all the witnesses are watching. I mean, you're not hiding from God if you're faking the funk. I learned something recently again, as I'm always learning. Some dude said, you're not hiding from God. And if not, you know, I mean, no wonder you're where you're at. And no wonder I have favor. And I was like, favor? And he goes, yeah, don't act like God doesn't have favorites, because he does. And I'm like, no, he doesn't. And he goes, yes, he does. And God is no respecter of persons. which is true. But is God not favor? So if he has favor and he bestows favor, how can everybody be his favorite? The respecter of persons and the favor have been taken and combined into thinking, well, they're all the same. Well, God can't say that he's favor and he has favor upon you if he doesn't have favor upon somebody else. Otherwise, it's a lie.
Yeah.
You can't have favor on everybody.
How can you have dark and not light?
How can you have dark and not light? And I'm like, dang, so then I am his favorite. No, and you're his favorite, and you're his favorite, and you're his favorite, but I walk in favor. I declare everywhere I go. I mean, the favor and the glory of God, right? Everything I do, I have favor. I go, man, I just can't even tell you throughout all my life how much favor. I mean, I got stopped yesterday because I was leaving, trying to meet Tracy, and I hit the underpass, and I'm fixing to get on the ramp. It's right there. What's the 65, 70, right? To get on the freeway, and I'm turning, and we literally have 100 yards, and so I'm speeding up, and there's a cop right there. He said, it's 40. He stopped me, he goes, you going 63 to 45? I said, I'm trying to get on ramp. And I was just so upset. I said, man, and he goes, what was going on? I said, do what you gotta do. That's exactly what I said. I said, do what you gotta do, man. And I just put my head down. I said, Lord, I said, you know, I mean, really, Lord? He comes back, he says, it's your lucky day. And I said, my printer's broke. And I said, I ain't lucky at all, Bubba. I said, that's the favor of God. And he just looked at me. And he just looked at me and goes,
matter of fact, go back and try to get it fixed.
Right.
Give me this ticket again. Try it again.
Try it again.
Then he looks at me and tells me your ticket will be in the mail.
I said, that's the grace of God. That's the favor of God. And he just looks at me, slow it down. And he walks out, and I'm like, thank you. And that was it.
Slowing down on the
ramp. I'm like, really, bro? You're looking for a ticket. You know what I mean? That's what he was doing. Pulling up on the end of it, not the front of it. At the end of it, they're speeding. They need to slow down. Over here, you're trying to get on. Anyway, forgive them, Lord, for they do not know what they do. Forgive them.
Stop it.
I wanted to end with this, and then we can play Carlos' song. How to stay in secret. I know, I'm watching the clock. They ain't out yet. How to stay in the secret place. And there's so much here, but I can't unpack it too much. But I got it out of a devotional. It's called the Ohel Moed. It says, we're standing on a low mountain range that enclosed a vast open expanse. Imagine, the teacher said, this plane completely filled up with tents. If you can imagine it, that's what it would have looked like when the Hebrews journeyed through the wilderness. But there was one tent that stood apart from the rest. It was called the Ohel Moed, the tent of the appointed time, the tent of meeting. Well, what exactly is it? Asked the student. It is the tent of God's presence, where God and man meet together. Now imagine that you were in the camp. How would you find the tents? I don't know. Well, you would simply walk to the center of it. The tent of meeting is always set up at the center of the camp. The rest of the camp is built around it. This one tent is set at the position is set in position of every other tent. The entire camp is ordered by this determined location. So what does that reveal? I don't know. I'm not a camper. Nevertheless, that you need to build a tent of meeting. And what does that mean? That every child of God must dwell in God with worship and prayer and communion. And to dwell with God, you must build a tent of meeting. But how so? By setting apart an appointed day every day and establishing its parameters for one set and sacred purpose, to meet with God. That's your tent of meeting. It's your appointed time. But where do you set it up? In a quiet place? More than that, The tent of meeting must always be set up at the center of the camp. It must be the center of your day, the center of your schedule, the center of everything you do, the center of your life. That's the key. It's not, if it's not the center, Carol, every other thing around it is going to crowd out its existence. The tent of meeting. Every other thing, all your issues, all your problems, all your worries, all your concerns, all these lies. Well, I got to provide for myself. I thought God was your provider, Carlos. It's, if it's not the center, everything around it, it's going to crowd out its existence. And if you don't fit your time with God around your day and your other activities, your day, you don't fit your time with God around your day and other activities. You fit your day around God and that activity. That's how you do that. Your tent of meeting, your relationship with God, at the sacred meetings of that relationship, one can only occupy that place of your life, which is the center. The center of your life and everything around your life in God and your time with God. Or else, and that's how everything else will fall into place. It's the tent of meeting, and this is what the Hebrews did, and they always had God in the center. Well, we're not going to build a tent of meeting because we have God right here. But everywhere you go, you're not to set your schedule around, oh, well, this is, I got to do all these things, and then if I have time for you, Lord, you're backwards. It's God first, and then everything else. Well, I got a job. Well, I got my job says, you know, I can't work on Sundays. I've quit my job for that. Literally. I mean, how much do you really want the Lord? Mm-hmm. You know? Because the enemy is going to do whatever he can to keep you away. Mm-hmm. I've quit the job that says, hey, you can't preach and have Jesus here because we don't like it. Right? Everyone else wants to set their schedule around their life and then if I have time for God. Mm-hmm. God doesn't want that. He doesn't want your sloppy seconds. He doesn't want your sloppy seconds. He wants the first fruits, right? And this is what I'm going to meet God today. This is what I'm going to give him 5 hours. Oh, I'm sorry, seven. No, three. Okay, just two. Man, give him 30 minutes, right? At least this time today, I'm going to pray and try to get into the secret place. And as I do that, that secret place is going to grow. And then all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself in ministry, the place where everyone wants to be, but no one knows it. Because that's the best place that you can pour out and give yourself away. All right? It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. But most, and everybody wants this, but they don't want to die to themselves because they want the cake and eat it too. The only way to be in this place is to give it all away and revolve your life around God. Everything I did, I would be at Connecticut. This is true stories. I would be at a place where I was working, selling stuff, and they're like, how come you're not always as out as these other guys? I said, because this is not my provider. I said, God's my provider. Yeah, but that's just weird how you live like that. And I'm like, you know, you're supposed to be doing stuff and be out at early in the morning. I said, I don't, man. I said, I got time with the Lord from 5 or 6 to whenever he says stop. What do you mean whenever he says stop? This is the way I roll, bro. This is the way I live my life. People wouldn't understand it. I'd be reading the word in at lunchtime at other jobs. You know, you're supposed to be eating lunch. I am. All this didn't happen just because, right? Because God rewards me on the outside for all these things that I did that no one ever knew. No one ever knew. Because it wasn't nobody's business. Because I didn't care about anyone else. All I wanted was God. And that's all I still want is God. I'm not here for all of it and everything. Well, I'm not regenerated enough and that's why I don't have a big church building. No, that's not the case. I said, those people aren't saying the truth. They're giving you a partial gospel, not the full gospel. They're giving you a watered-down gospel, not the full gospel. Because if you tell these people that most of y'all are lukewarm Christians and y'all probably aren't even saved, I said, they're going to leave your church. And as soon as, I mean, they're going to leave that church. And as soon as they leave that church, what happens to all those tithes? And then what happens to all that Rolls Royce that they're driving? I said, all of a sudden, let me ride in a hoopty, right? What happened? Oh, God's not blessing them. No, that's not the way it works. But it so bothered me that this mentality has crept in to even the furthest parts of the world. Americanism, American church, Western, really, because it's been in Europe too. And it's such a travesty that they're in this place, but we choose to walk different, right? Mm-hmm. And as that, as y'all are the light of the earth, as y'all are the salt of the earth, and you go to other people that go to another church, well, I know another pastor that took a vaccine. Yeah, I'm sorry for him. You might not be following my God. You know? You are the salt of the earth, even amongst all these people who consider themselves to be Christian. Because in all reality, y'all, they're all yearning for the truths that you have. They're all yearning for the realities of God, the truth of God, worship in spirit and in truth, encouraging words, to learn how to listen, to heal the soul. They're all yearning for all of this. As a matter of fact, the whole earth groans for the daughters and sons of men to rise forth. And this is what we're doing. We are rising forth. Go ahead, Carlos. Lead us into a serenade.